Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely terrific day today. If you're listening live right now, we do still have the magnesium brain food on sale for 15% off, just to let you know. About a few people call in this morning already, and they know it's Wednesday, and they know product of the week changes. But I'm going to let it go a little bit longer today into the afternoon, because it appears a lot of people still have not purchased that or gotten a chance to take advantage of that sale. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up. We'll leave product of the week up and running till this afternoon, and then it will be changing to the new product of the week that is one that you guys basically voted on, and it won, which is coming in as the magnesium body balm, which is probably going to be going up there today as well. So be sure to check that out on the website. And again, thank you for your interaction and your support at healthmasters.com. And Dad, how are you doing today?
Austin, I'm blessed. I spent the morning reading the Bible. I had a blast with that. I had a great night's sleep. Got some great letters in, and I want to read a couple of responses that I wrote back. I won't share all the letters with you, but a few of them. But I want to thank you guys for your feedback. You guys are amazing to me. But Karen wrote me a letter and just thanked God for the show and thanked, you know, that we were staying on point, you know, keeping Christ in center. And I wrote her something back, and it's kind of personal, and I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to share it with the whole audience. And I sent it out to a few people in my texts, and I'm going to read part of the response that I wrote back to her. I said, Karen, thanks so much. It's because of people like you and your feedback that makes us realize that our show is appreciated. I am blessed to have Austin as my co-host. The show is much easier and flows much better with the two of us. I am so grieved that so many other supposedly Christian hosts won't stay on spiritual issues, or they bring in secular humanists to speak. We have to, as leaders, maintain a Christian perspective. If we don't, we only confuse the audience and push them into secular humanism, especially with the ET issue. This is a fallen angel issue. As you know, my primary motivation for the show is that I feel that God is directing my footsteps. If it were not for the leading of the Holy Spirit, I would probably be retired and traveling. But to be almost 64 and to have the goals and the dreams and the leadership of the Holy Spirit is ultimately fulfilling to me. I feel humbled and blessed to be doing what we do, and I'm so thankful to God that He felt me worthy to be His servant. My heart beats for the great I am. I appreciate you. Now, I wrote that, and I wanted to read it to you guys. So if there's any doubt as to my commitment to Christ or the commitment to this show, I want it alleviated at this point. I'm doing this show because I told you guys 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, God spoke to me in a dream, changed my life forever, and really got me focused on what I'm doing today with Austin, and I'm just absolutely blessed to be here. Josh and Danielle wrote back and said, I also truly appreciate all of you and what Austin does. I thank God that I always led to your show. You and Austin, with your health use, have completely changed how Danielle and I feel. Your spiritual mentorship has transformed my view on how incredible God is with your talks on frequency. I was a Christian before listening to your show, but now I have such a deeper understanding of God and what Jesus Christ did and does by being on the cross, by sacrificing himself. Thank you for staying true to the word and putting Jesus first and not retiring. God bless. And thank you, Josh. And then Sherry wrote in and goes, keep on trucking, Ted. Give me gas for my Ford. Keep me trucking for the Lord. Give me wax for my board. Keep me surfing for the Lord. Keep me trucking, surfing until the break of day. And she says, I thought you might enjoy a little throwback from the 70s. And you know what's funny about all of this stuff is, guys, is that I'm doing the best I can, and Austin is too, to bring you the unabridged viewpoint of the world as far as from a godly perspective. And so many people have forgotten to do that. They have just simply walked away from what the Word of God says, and they don't allow themselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, or they've completely and totally compromised themselves. This morning I was reading in Exodus, and I was reading with the children of Israel and how they got out of Israel, and how they got out of Egypt. Remember, they've been in Egypt for 400 years, and 400 years of learning how to worship Isis, golden calves, Baal, Moloch, Asherah, and all the different gods of Egypt. And after the 10 plagues came upon Egypt, the Pharaoh released the children of Israel. And it says in Exodus 14:7, and Pharaoh basically had his heart hardened against God, and he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with the captains of every one of them to kill the children of Israel. And so now the Israelites, remember, they've gone through the 10 plagues, 10 miracles that God showed them. They said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? This is Exodus 14:11. So they got unbelievably upset. They want to go back and serve these foreign gods and serve the Egyptians. And finally, so Moses lifted up his, he said, he called on God, and the angel of the God who went, this is verse 19, chapter 14, and the angel of the God who went up before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud and fire, and a fire went before him and stood behind them. They had the fire later on, in a couple chapters, verses later. So the children of Israel went to the midst of the sea on dry ground as they crossed the Red Sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and to the left. Now it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the enemy of Egypt through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And basically he took off their chariot wheels. He broke the chariots down. And so they couldn't get through the Red Sea. And then Moses stretched his hands back out over the Egyptians, and the waters covered them, and they drowned. And every single one of them died. And thus Israel saw, verse 31, the great work which God had done in Egypt. And so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now, what's interesting about this is it goes on in verse 16. Now they're all mad during their second month, and the whole congregation of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in their wilderness because they were hungry. And verse 4 says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And he did. And then they continue to complain. He says, okay, now I'm going to go ahead and send the quail in verse 12 and 13. And then they had all the bread and all the meat they wanted to eat. Now, what's interesting about all of this stuff is that Moses then took them out to the mountain of God, and then he basically was given the Ten Commandments. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. This is verse 20. That's chapter 20, verse 2. And he gives us the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then he says, thou shalt not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. Again, he's telling them not to do what they were doing in Egypt. I'm the Lord your God, for I'm a jealous God. He goes, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This is why I get so irritated when I have conservative talk show hosts using God's name in vain. The word says don't do this. Then it says remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And it goes on to honor your father, your mother, not to commit murder, adultery, steal, bear false witness, or coveting. What's interesting about this is then Moses gets to, he's up on the mountain with God for 40 days. And several of the key items, it says in Exodus 22:18 says, you shall not permit a sorceress to live. Sorceress, this is a witch. Okay. Number 19, whoever lies with an animal, this is Sodom, I see animals. Again, all this was from Egypt, all of this. And then it says in verse 25, if you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, don't be like the money lender. Don't charge them interest. Now, isn't that interesting that God would say about charging interest and not to do it to your Christian friends? In Exodus 23:32, it says, you shall make no covenant with them or their gods, talking about the people that you go into and the nations that you conquer, because he knew they would be ensnared by the words. Now, I'm skipping large chunks of this, so I want you guys to go back and read this entire chapter in Exodus. And in 32, basically the children of Israel got kind of bored and upset because this mountain had fire on it, and they're thinking that Moses was dead, so they didn't know what to do. So chapter 32, verse 1, it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered unto Aaron. Now remember, Aaron's Moses' brother. And Aaron used to work in the temples, and he knew how to make these foreign gods. And they told Aaron, come make us gods that go before us, as we can, because for as this Moses, the man who brought us to Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. Okay? So Aaron said to them, break off your earrings, and we shall make a god. And he goes, and he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then he said, this is Aaron now. Again, he's caught up in this Egyptian worship. Aaron, the brother of Moses, says, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, he's just telling them that this golden calf is what delivered them. Now, this gets really weird because at this point, they have this big party, this big orgy is what it was. They started sacrificing, I'm sure, human beings. They started basically doing the same things they had done in Egypt that they had learned for 400 years because, you know, they were still filled with the iniquity of the Egyptians and the worship of Isis and all these other idols. The ancient Canaanite religions had come all the way through, and they still were in the lands they were conquering, and these people were infused with it. But God sees this, and he goes, all right, I'm pretty mad about all this. And God said to Moses, go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt. That's funny. For your people, God's kind of saying, okay, they're your people now, they're not my people anymore. I've had enough of this. For your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. This is verse 7. Now verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that you brought out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it's a stiff-necked people. And then God says, okay, says, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. God just says to Moses, I'm going to kill all of them, okay? And Moses goes, like, you know, stresses. Moses, by this time, is going to be massively stressing out. Because remember, there were millions of these people in the desert. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power, with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say he brought them out to harm them, kill him, and consume them in the mountains, and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from him to harm your people. Now, Moses, God just told Moses, he's going to start over again with Moses and kill everybody. That's how mad he was because of the orgy and the sacrifices they were doing. Remember, they had just seen the Ten Commandments. They were protected by the pillar of fire. They had watched the Red Sea open before them. They had watched the chariots drowned and the horses drowned. I mean, just a couple months earlier. This wasn't like it was 25 years earlier. This is like their second, third month out in the desert. Well, then Moses came to gag. He saw the calf, the dancing, and he became unbelievably angry. He actually set a bunch of Levites out, and they killed about 3,000 of them that night because they wouldn't stop basically murmuring and complaining. And then also the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. I mean, he was upset about this. Now, then he also tells them in chapter 34, verse 12, take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest you be in a snare in your midst. He's talking about the Canaanite religions right here. He's warning them again. He says, but you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images. This is Asherah, Baal, and Moloch. For you shall worship no other god than the Lord. And see, and this is what I'm trying to really go into detail with you guys on this morning. What in the world has happened to Christianity? Have we gone the way of the Israelites that have left Egypt? Have we decided to go our own way and do our own thing and worship what we want to worship? I mean, are you kidding me? We've got these Christian pastors who are supposedly Christian pastors now going to abortion clinics and blessing the abortion clinics. I've posted this on the Health Masters News site. We've got Christian pastors openly endorsing homosexual lifestyle, sodomy, and the gay rights movement to bring in more homosexuals and gays and lesbians into their churches. We've completely and totally compromised everything that we've done in Christianity. And we've sat by and we've allowed the enemies to come into the gates. And we've done this because of the Scofield Bible, because we've stopped preaching holiness in the pulpit and in the churches. And we've allowed people to come in and do whatever they want to do in the church and basically say, it's okay, we'll accept you for who you are. It doesn't matter. Why? Because it increases the giving units. The giving units that are being brought into the churches. And the sad part about this is that, you know, it's more than just giving units. You know, guys, and I want to thank you all for supporting Health Masters. I mean, we've got a lot of listeners. We've got millions of listeners. But only a tiny fraction, probably way less than 1% of you support the show. And you go, oh, wow, he's talking about me. Well, I'm not fussing at you. You know, if you don't feel you should support the show, then you shouldn't support the show. But I want to thank you guys for supporting the show, the ones who do support the show. Because if it wasn't for you guys supporting the show, we couldn't give you this broadcast. And you go, well, it's all right. Yeah, I'll support it some other time. Well, okay, whatever you want to do is fine. I love you no matter what. I pray for you every day whether you support this show or not. I want you to know that. I prayed for you again this morning because I love you guys. And I'm not about here about you guys supporting the show. That's not why I'm doing this show, but we require support. So thank you for that. I mean, if we weren't selling supplements and you guys weren't so kind with your contributions, I couldn't do what we do. We couldn't be supporting all those orphans in Thailand. I mean, it's because of you guys. So I want to thank you for that, because if you feel that we minister to you in any way whatsoever, from a health standpoint, nutrition standpoint, personal development standpoint, however you want to look at it, and you want to support us, thank you. I mean, you're already buying toothpaste somewhere else. Don't tell me you're not buying toothpaste, because I know you're buying toothpaste. I guarantee every one of you are buying toothpaste, and every one of you are buying deodorant. I hope you are. And, you know, and you could get that all from Health Masters, I mean, along with your multiple vitamin. And I thank you when you do that. But, guys, it's so important to realize that as Christians, we've got to support one another. And I'm being really honest with you guys this morning. When I was a kid, I was in the Lutheran church for many years, and we had perfect Sunday school in attendance because my dad had put in my divorce decree with his mom, my mom, that we had to be confirmed. And she, being the good German, she decided to be very punctual with us in church every Sunday morning. But she didn't go to church. This is a little bit odd. She'd let us off, and she would sit there and wait for an hour and a half for us to come back out of church. But it was perfect. I mean, every Sunday morning we were in Sunday school, we were in church, all the way until we got confirmed and we became members of the church. And then she immediately thought her job was done. We weren't old enough to drive, and she stopped taking us to church, which ended up with me having a massive backsliding, falling away, doing the things that I did in college and high school, and ended up basically, you know, recommitting and getting saved when I was 23 years old in college. Now, I tell you all of that because of this. When I was in the Lutheran church, as a young child, I wanted to be a pastor. When I got saved at the age of 23, 24, when I first got married to my ex-wife that we ended up getting divorced after 3 years for scriptural grounds, I ended up basically wanting to go into the ministry. Now, you guys, I've never told any of you this. I was going to be a pastor. I was going to start my own church. But that just simply didn't work because of, you know, all of the – be honest with you guys, I was so frustrated because I had gotten divorced. I didn't feel as though that I could be a Christian pastor having been divorced. And now there's so many pastors that are divorced who have big churches and who preach the Word of God. And I realized that divorce is just another thing that we have to go through sometimes. It's not in God's perfect will. And it's just one of those things that happens, you know, because we stop growing together spiritually and physically and you know, emotionally, and we end up having separated problems, or one commits adultery on another, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, a variety of things happen, but all of this stuff, if you've sinned and you've fallen short of the glory of God and you've gotten divorced and it was your problem, your fault, and you did something you shouldn't ought to do, guys, just repent. It's a sin. You're not going to go to hell for that. Just repent. Forget about it. Move on, put it in your rearview mirror, and learn from it. Make sure that it doesn't happen in your next one. And so we have to understand what's happened to us as a country. I mean, you know, we've got to think through this for just a second. I mean, we have really got ourselves into a situation where, you know, this country is turning into a communist country. We have gotten ourselves into a situation that unless we as Christians start making choices that are going to bring honor and glory to God, you know, we're going to have a continual breakdown of the United States. I mean, and this has come to pass, okay, with the Christianity, because we didn't stop the anti-Christian hate agenda. I mean, we didn't stop it. When people start talking about how bad Christians were and started putting Christians down, we let them do it, okay? And this is the problem. Our government basically has been overthrown by these 17 Kabbalists, these Luciferians, these same guys, by the way, who are worshiping the golden calf, in Genesis, Exodus, the same group, the same spirit, the same satanic group, okay? Our government's been overthrown. We've got Trump, basically, he's capitulated on the border. His recent, basically, capitulation to the GMO industry and the vaccine industry. I mean, you know, all of this different stuff as far as wanting to attack all these countries, nothing's changed. You know, our liberties are being eliminated one by one. Gun confiscation is next. I mean, the Constitution's in its last breath. Okay? You know, it's kind of like, you know, we all are on the Titanic together. You know what I'm saying, guys? And the band is still playing. And we're up there rearranging the deck chairs and we're going, you know, something's wrong here. We got to try to fix this thing. And the only way we can fix a spiritual problem is through a spiritual solution. We need a revival in this country. You know, they have to destroy our Constitution because in part it represents the values of Jesus Christ. These Luciferians literally roam the halls of Congress, both Democrats and Republicans. I mean, look at Jeffrey Epstein, over 1,000 names on his list of people who supposedly had sex with all these young girls. I mean, they're all compromised. You know, we had a Muslim in the White House. You know, his occupation forces, the deep state, have declared that Christians who believe the Bible is the final word of domestic terrorists, as per the MIAC report. I mean, prayer is banned in our schools, yet lifestyle perversions, which are offensive in the sight of God, are honored and given special status in our new laws. I mean, what the heck? And we've taken over and over what's happened in our school systems, and we've allowed it just to continue. Okay? In Genesis 19, the Bible speaks to God's judgment of the unholy, the perverts, and the evil. Guys, this is where we are. Remember, we've talked so many times about Goldman Sachs and Sodom and Gomorrah and the bankers that have hijacked our government through legalized bribery. We're looking at Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, HSBC Bank. I mean, they're all they're running drugs and laundering money. Goldman Sachs has been collectively been convicted for things like child trafficking, running drugs, laundering drug money, stealing investors. We're not talking about JPMorgan Chase that's being basically now taken before the, you know, they're being sued and basically being charged with basically messing with the metals market. This is the same group whose spirit has run through all of this, Sodom and Gomorrah, all of it. You know, remember what they did in Sodom. They were looking for the righteous people. They couldn't find any. And so we literally are living in Sodom and Gomorrah right now. You know, Madonna's coming out with a whole new sex thing again. I mean, gosh, she's in her 60s now. She's still running around in her perversion. And the reality, the only reason she gets any kind of publicity is because they want her to have publicity. They want to take the people my age, over the age of 60, and turn them into a bunch of sexual perverts and deviants. Say, well, you can't get pregnant. You might as well just go have sex. I've heard that so many times. It's ridiculous. And I'm like, guys, okay, well, pregnancy has very little to do with committing adultery. I mean, why would you live like this? I had another friend of mine, a radio talk show personality last night. He goes, well, I'm afraid that if you come up and visit us and come talk to us or whatever, that I'm going to feel convicted because of your lifestyle. And I texted him back and I said, dude, I'm not pious, nor am I sanctimonious. And then he texts me back and he goes, well, if I take you to a German restaurant, will you have a beer with me? Now, all of you who weren't listening, you're now listening. All of you guys are saying, what did you say, Ted? Will you have a beer with this guy? And you know, I told him, I said, sure, I'll have a beer with you. Oh, my gosh, now all you religious people got all mad at me. Drinking is not a sin, guys. Drunkenness is a sin. Now, if you've got a problem with people in your family or you yourselves have dealt with being drunk and being basically addicted to alcohol and being an alcoholic, you need to avoid this stuff. And I said, sure, I'll have a beer with you. I said, maybe one, maybe two, that's it. And I said, but I won't eat pork. Not at the German restaurant, I won't do it. You think, well, that sounds kind of odd. Well, the Bible says don't eat pork. It doesn't say don't drink a beer. See, here's the thing, guys. We can't get sanctimonious and we can't get pious. We can't do that. I'm not like that. I'm about as real as I can get as a talk show host. I'm just open with you guys about everything. And now, am I going to go up there? Am I going to see the guy? Am I going to have a beer with him? I don't know. Who cares? What difference does it make? I had a donut last month, too. I have a friend of mine who makes donuts. Okay? I had a cookie. You know, last weekend I had a cup of coffee at a hotel in Atlanta. If you guys want to know all my little secrets, there you go. I can list them out for you. But, guys, 99% of the time, 99.99999% of the time I don't drink alcohol. Yeah, I mean, I very rarely ever do it. Maybe a few times a year when something may be free or whatever. I never drink hard alcohol ever. And see, guys, it's so important that you understand that I'm as real as you are, and I'm just doing the best I possibly can. And we have to all realize that, you know, we've got to find a way that we can relate to the world and make people understand what's happening. Because here's what's happened. You know, we had something happen. We had the first hijacking of America occurred in about 1913. With the city of London, the private central bankers passed their illegal, unconstitutional Federal Reserve Act. Now, the second hijacking of America occurred when the secret shadow government was formed as a knee-jerk reaction to the Roswell crash. Now, I've talked about this. This is about the fallen angel technology that they received and the demonic technology they received. I told you there are other entities in this universe that God made. And they like to, you know, torment us. This isn't a matter of flesh and blood, but of these principalities and these hierarchies and these other dimensions. I'll talk about it in detail. And we need to realize that this third thing of the deep space right now is this breakaway civilization that they're doing. Yeah, they've got technology, including the 5G technology, that's so far advanced that it's unbelievable. But they don't want us to know about the alien agenda or the fallen angel agenda, as the Bible talks about it. I mean, we have all of these sightings of all these spaceships now. The Navy just said that the sightings of these UFOs was not supposed to have been released, but they were real. That's posted on the Health Master's website. And all of this stuff is something that we need to understand something, that the planet Earth has been and is now being visited by these extra interdimensional entities, the demons and all the other things that are running around. And some of these things are pretty doggone powerful. You know, President Eisenhower, actually under the threat of deploying his army and attacking Area 51, actually had to learn what was going on. And then Secretary of Defense James Forrestal felt otherwise, and he was thrown on the upper floor of the Bethesda Naval Hospital to his death by U.S. military intel because he refused to keep a secret what was going on to the American people about what's happening with the ETs. Later, when JFK became president, he got into an obsession to find out all he could about the secret defense contractors, the relationships with these entities, and the conditions of their joint black engineering programs. I mean, he went against – I've told you what he's done before. He did not want to go into a third world war with the Cuban Missile Crisis. His last-minute refusal to be drawn to the CIA invasion of Cuba with, you know, the Bay of Pigs, his commitment to withdraw from Vietnam, and his printing of real U.S. currency by Executive Order 1110 was an attempt to get out of the city of London's private Federal Reserve system and their phony fiat debt notes. And, of course, they killed him for this. And so we have to understand all of this stuff. The American coup d'etat on November 22nd, 1963, brought in a Fourth Reich into the United States. Fascism, spearheaded by GHWB. The old Bush just died. And the city of London supported drug trafficking, satanic pedophile cabal. This is the group now that's doing all of this stuff because they don't want you to realize that the Book of Enoch is real. There, I just said that, didn't I? This is an account of a historical account. You know, it's still part of an apocryphal text in the Ethiopian Bible. It was taken out by the Catholic Church. there are things that you got to remember. There's giant structures all over this planet with mega monoliths and stones that we can't even move today. How the heck did they do all that? But they want us to forget about that ancient history when the giants roamed the earth and these giant things move things around and all the technology they had. Guys, we've already cycled through this once or twice. And this last time we cycled through, when God put Adam and Eve back on the planet, he basically fixed it. He basically put a kinsman redeemer, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, in the exact image of God, to come in and reconcile our relationship with him as his children and as his creation. And it's through him, through Christ, the blood covenant we have with Jesus Christ, that we're redeemed. And because of that, God's Holy Spirit, through the energy field it permeates, and permeates into you and creates you into a new creature, a new being, a new person. And you become a Christian with incredible power and authority because of the words that you speak and because of scalar waves. Christianity is not what most people think it is. It's the ability to be in covenant with the Most High God and to basically commit your plans unto the Lord and have them succeed because of who you are through Christ Jesus. Guys, it's so important to understand that when you commit yourself to Christ and you accept him as your Lord and your Savior, that everything in your life changes. And if Christians would stay together in unity and in purpose and realize, sure, okay, there are ETs out there. Call them whatever you want to call them. You know, Dizdar says there's like seven different types of them as far as different angels and entities that are running around that the Bible lists, even different ones listed out. So we know they're there. So getting into a big, you know, frenzy about it, going, oh my gosh. And guys, here's the other thing too. Be very careful on who you listen to with this stuff. All right. I keep it all in a Christian perspective. I keep it all basically real. Because, you know, if you've got to bring it back to Jesus Christ, just like I did now, and who we are through Christ. Because God fixed this mess with the ETs. They're not a threat to us. You know, we're just passing through here to go to be with God for eternity. I mean, they're more of a nuisance than anything else. But they are a very real power to the secular people who basically sacrifice human beings to them to share the energy fields with them. This is all, again, scalar physics, and to create their own reality and to get more stuff, like Madonna and all these other people, Katy Perry, who say they've sold their soul to Lucifer. Guys, this is a very real battle that we've got going on. We've got to be just very, very serious about it. And we have to understand something, guys. If we're not bringing honor and glory to God, if we're not thinking through what we're doing, if we're like the rest of the secular people, and we say we're going to do stuff and we don't do it, and we say we're going to be there and we don't show up, and all the different things, you know, we need to really reevaluate who we are in Christ. You know, God did not call us to have a spirit of, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and never show up and never do it. He called us to be obedient servants and to do what he says, and basically to tell the truth. And so it's important that we all support each other, that we pray for one another. Like I pray for you guys every day, and a lot of you pray for us. You say, well, he's being all preachy this morning, I don't want to listen to this. Okay, well, don't listen to it. I'm just telling you the truth from what I've seen being 63, almost 64 years of age. You know, I've seen too much stuff with people claiming to be Christians, like these pastors who went and prayed for an abortion clinic for it to be blessed. What the heck are these people? They need to be taken and put on some island by themselves. Just go away. Leave us alone. I don't even consider them to be saved or Christian. But the reality is this, guys. We've got to think through what we do. We've got to think through what we say. We've got to think through how we act. And we've got to try to bring honor and glory to God in everything we do, think, and say. And if you can't do something, don't make a commitment. Say, I'll try to do it. You know, if you say I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock, why don't you say, if you know you're not sure by the time, hey, I'll be there somewhere between 9:30 and 10:30. Give yourself an hour window. Try to find a way you can do all of that to still try to do what you say you're going to do. Give yourself some leeway. I learned a long time ago, Austin, that when people ask me to do things, because I could be gone all the time, you know, I have to say no most of the time because it takes this show takes 4 to 5 hours a day to prep for. And, you know, and people say, well, are you going to do this? Are you going to this conference? Are you going to that conference? Are you going to this conference? My response is just, well, if I'm invited to go and I'm a speaker, I'll go. But I've been to over 100 conferences as a speaker, as one of the keynote speakers, and more than that. It's over 100. And I've done thousands and thousands and thousands of radio and TV talk shows. And so to me, going to a conference and listening to some person speak who I don't know, or listen to some person who's speaking who's a secular humanist, I know that they're a secular humanist, I can't do that. I can't receive anything from them. I just can't do it. because it's going to frustrate me. Now, I'm not saying they can't tell you something you can't learn something from, but it's just difficult for me. And so that's why you guys don't see me going to all these conferences, because I don't go to those anymore. You know, unless somebody asked me to speak, then I would go, and I would probably just volunteer my time, because I want to be the person who is going there for the right reasons. So I'm trying to get through a lot of stuff that I've been thinking about for the last month, 2 months, this morning. But I want you guys to understand something. If they come out and give you a disclosure and they tell you that aliens are real, spaceships are real, which they've already done, the Navy told us, all right, don't let it mess with your head. You were bought at a price through the blood of the Lamb. And basically, God basically has redeemed you from the curse of the law. And because of all the things that Christ has done for you, you've been set apart. That's why the Bible says, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. Guys, remember to think about what you're doing, think about what you're saying, and remember, everything you do represents Christianity and God Almighty. I love you guys. Austin, what are you thinking? What's your first story? But I kind of went long this morning, but I felt I needed to cover that.
No, that was really good info, bud. I mean, you really hit some stuff on the head really accurately, and that's why we have to continue to talk about the truth, the real truth of what's really going on with this. I mean, I saw an article again the other day. I mean, it was very troubling. They said that a Baptist church in Ohio now has now basically made a transgender the head leading pastor of the church. Kid you not. It basically was a guy and started identifying as a woman first year of his seminary, and then basically is now a female or identifies as a female.
Total perversion.
And and that's what it is. And I mean, when I'm reading it, I don't even understand it, honestly. I mean, because you're sitting there just reading this, and you're like, what? You got to kind of almost reread it again to understand what's going on here. But this is what's going on. They're doing this slowly because a lot of these churches have been compromised from within. And this is one way, that they've really, really, really found a crack in the dam, so to speak, to work their way in with this, because what they've done now is essentially, if you don't support the LGBTQXYZ group, then basically you're a homophobe, racist bigot. If you don't support transgenderism, you're the same. If you basically say anything about these individuals, you're a transgender, anti-transgender, racist bigot. If you don't call one of these individuals by your pronoun, in some state areas now, like up in New York, you can actually be fined and arrested if you intentionally keep calling somebody by the pronoun that they don't want to be called. This is what they've done now. This is one way that they've really, really, really worked it into the system, because there's a lot of stuff that you can, you know, avoid. There's a lot of stuff that you can stand firm on. There's a lot of stuff that you can really, really make sure your stance is heard. This is one of them that they've done has been incredibly deceitful, because they've gotten the media and the public, basically the public acceptance of it for the most part. Large percentage of the population now goes, oh, well, you know, it's fine if somebody wants to be transgender. And as far as I'm concerned in that aspect of it, yes, this is America. You do have the right to be pretty much anything you want. If you want to go in your basement and lock the door and pretend you're a she-male unicorn, is nobody really say different otherwise. That's what you really want to get involved in. However, on the other hand, too, there is a level of the First Amendment that still has to be respected when somebody blatantly defies science, when they blatantly defy biology, when they're blatantly manipulating other people by trying to force them into saying, oh, I'm a girl now. You have to call me by she. It's ma'am, as we saw in that one video, that GameStop that was so disturbing with that guy. Oh, it's ma'am. You call me ma'am. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is bizarre. But that's what they have done now, is they've done it over and over and over again and made anybody that doesn't support this, that doesn't go along with this, that stands up against this, and they do the best they can to essentially demonize them, just like they did that pastor out there, I think it was in Ohio, wherever it was. We've been going out against this drag queen story hour very vocally with the, you know, city commissioners, with everybody, and then all of a sudden he had a bunch of vandalism that next weekend on his entire church. This is what they're trying to do to shut down the free speech and also Christian speech. So really good information on that, Dad. Also, too, in other news, this is something I wanted to bring up. This is an interesting story. down in Georgia, Conyers, Georgia, which is interesting. That's actually where my wife's granddad lives, is right over in Conyers. I was there about a year and a half ago, I think. We went down there for visiting for Christmas. And I guess there were guys in the front yard of a Georgia home, their hometown, homeowners, and three masked men pulled up and got out and basically drew weapons and opened fire on the guys that were standing at the house. The one homeowner drew his firearm, shot all three of the perpetrators, ended up killing all three of the perpetrators in his front yard, and nobody was hurt as far as innocent bystanders. Well, the story got even weirder when they found out that the deceased robbers, would-be robbers in the front yard, were 15 years old, 16 years old, and 16 years old. The homeowners obviously not being charged. I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are. If you put on a ski mask and grab a pistol and run up in somebody's yard and open fire on them, you're probably going to get shot if you're in the South, just being honest with you. And but they said it's very strange now how they're seeing the degradation of the younger generation, how the kids, younger and younger and younger, are becoming more violent and more sadistic and more belligerent in their behavior and more militant. And a lot of this, again, as I've talked about before, is the incessant violent video games a lot of these children are allowed to play at early, early, early ages. On top of that, we see this massive amount of just violence in the media all the time. I mean, look at what they're constantly talking about. Oh, we need to kill all white people. I'm hearing about the media now. The white violent extremists, you know, they need to be basically genocided. I mean, we hear this all the time. There's constantly all this anger the media is constantly complicit in putting out there. And now we see a 15, a 16, and a 16-year-old basically got killed because they were complete and total idiots and wanted to go put on a ski mask and act like they were some thugs and open fire on a homeowner. They just did it to the wrong house at the wrong time. And again, this is all also, too, though, why I keep telling everybody to absolutely stay armed and prepared at all times. I mean, you know, you sit in your front yard, you're having your friends over, you know, you're chit-chatting, you know, whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden somebody pulls up and jumps out with ski mask on and opens fire on you. That'll take y'all by surprise. And, I mean, quite frankly, the homeowner was pretty saucy. I mean, I'll give him that. I mean, opened up on all three of them, hit them all, killed them all. But again, this is why I always tell everybody to stay armed all the time if you have the legal ability to do so, because it is not going to get better right now. The more the media stokes this fire, the more the media tries to incite this violence, the more things like this are going to start occurring more and more and more and more. And the more states that we see that start putting in these unconstitutional gun regulations and stripping the American population and American citizens in that state from being able to legally carry and shoot firearms and own firearms, you're going to see this more, because criminals don't obey the laws. I mean, I have yet to ever hear somebody say, man, listen, we're ready to rob this bank. We're going to go in there, but we got there and there's this decal on the door. It says no firearms allowed in the bank. So we could rob the bank. I mean, we couldn't do it. I mean, I don't want to get in trouble for bringing a gun into a bank when we're going to rob it and maybe shoot somebody and steal all their money. I don't want to deal with that.
So
I mean,
true.
Guns aren't allowed in the bank. You know, we couldn't do it. Said nobody ever. Said no criminal ever. It never happens. Nobody ever sits there and goes, well, this is a gun-free zone. Jimmy, we probably shouldn't go rob this store. Okay, let's go to the next one. It doesn't happen like that. So the only option you have at that point is to be able to defend yourself with something of equal force. And that is why firearms are such good mediators. And I know people go, oh, firearms, they're dangerous and this and that. They're dangerous relative to what? They're more dangerous than driving 80 miles an hour down the interstate, going in and out of traffic in rush hour? What were they? Are they more dangerous than flying on an airplane across country, you know, 20, 30,000 feet? I mean, where are they more dangerous than? I mean, what are we talking about as far as dangerous to what? They're an inanimate object. They don't go off by themselves. They don't load by themselves. They don't shoot anybody by themselves. So what are they dangerous compared to what? So when you hear these lies and you hear an idiot like we talked about earlier with O'Rourke on Monday coming out and saying, we're going to take your firearms, understand that the only reason these guys want to take your firearms is not for your protection. It is not for the safety of the American population. It is so once something goes completely and totally sideways, the American population is going to have no chance whatsoever to defend themselves, whether that be an invasion from another country, whether that be a fake alien landing. I don't know what it is. Or what, a real one? I don't know. I watched that movie the other night, Cowboys and Aliens, with Harrison Ford and that one guy, the old James Bond guy, and I watched it with Lana. It's a very interesting film to watch. You know, it's like a sci-fi film, but they're talking about how these aliens, these entities, and they called them demons in the movie, ironically enough, are coming from another planet to harvest the gold out of the ground and take it back to their planet. She says, the gold is as valuable to them as it is to you. They need it for all types of different fuel and usages, and that's why they're coming here to harvest it. And of course, they harvest you and eat you at the same time. This is in the movie. It's a very interesting movie. And so, when you're thinking about it, this is why they're running around. You know, the cowboys got their, you know, Henry repeating action rifles and the revolvers, and Indians have these big old spears to run around with, and they're fighting them. The thing about this is, think about if you don't have the ability to defend yourself with a firearm. Think about if you're down to baseball bats and kitchen knives at that point, and that's the only option you have to defend yourself. You are at the mercy of anybody else that has a bigger weapon than you, and that's just a fact. So again, always remember, stay prepped, stay prepared, and never allow unconstitutional laws to be forced upon us and be disarmed. Never allow yourself to be disarmed like this, because once it happens, it will be the end of the United States. Communists, every single aspect that we despise, will take over in this country immediately thereafter if we ever allow this country to be disarmed, Ed.
You know, Austin, it's so frustrating to me, and you know, and I covered this just a few minutes ago, how Christians are sitting back and allowing hate speech to take over Christianity, and how they allow these pseudo pastors to come in and promote abortion, and you know, and I'm so happy that that person up in Georgia, you know, and of course this is probably a gang related incident. You had these three kids; they were probably wanting to be part of a gang, and they had to make their bones, I guess,
yep,
or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
You know, and then they had to go out. I had to go kill somebody. And so, you know, it's so weird, because I mean, I keep a gun with me all the time, everywhere I go. And you're exactly right. Nobody's going to go to the bank where it says no guns allowed and say, oh my gosh, I can't rob this place because it says no guns allowed. This is what's so stupid with the entire argument with the leftists or the communists or the Satanists or the Luciferians or the people that want to bring us into the third world war. I mean, like right now, Benjamin Netanyahu, they say, is fighting for his life. And I'm like, you know, for his election life. His election is still uncertain. I can pretty much guarantee you that Benjamin Netanyahu won't be defeated. He may lose some power as far as some authority over there, but they're not going to take him out of office. You know, he's doing what they want. He's doing what the Rothschilds want. Remember, Israel's a Rothschild fiefdom. You got to get that. If you understand that, you understand the whole work of it now. And now the Federal Reserve, they're going to lower interest rates again. I told you they were going to. I told you a couple weeks ago. And they're not going to raise interest rates to get Trump thrown out of office. Trump's doing everything they want. You've got to remember, the Chabad cult is a doomsday cult. This is where Jared and Ivanka belong to. It's a doomsday cult. They're doing everything they can in to bring the Antichrist and the Third World War and to bring in the man of perdition who's going to declare himself, like the Book of Thessalonians says, that he is God from the temple. They're doing everything they can to fulfill Scripture. And you think, well, it's going to get fulfilled sooner or later anyhow. Well, that's true. The Scripture will be fulfilled. God's telling you what's going to happen. But guys, we don't have to be a contributing factor to that. You know, we got these people giving money to the Temple Fund. Are you joking me? Temple Fund? Have they not read that Jesus Christ was our sacrifice, that we don't need to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats and cows and sheep? Did they not get that? I'm sorry I'm laughing, guys. But the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And, you know, and it's true. It's so unbelievably stupid that people believe this stuff and they think this stuff is okay and they continue to promote it. I mean, think this for a second. The other day, my buddy Brad, sent me some information about the Q followers. And I thought, you know, can they really believe this stuff? Can they really think that this is okay? Do they really believe that Q is going to be like this? That all of this stuff and who they are and what they believe? Here's what they believe. This is going to blow your mind. Okay. My buddy Brad talked to a guy who's basically a Q follower. And here's what happened. Here's the letter from Brad. This Q stuff is getting out of hand. I was told by this Q follower that Mike Pence is no longer the vice president. Yes, the Q people now believe that Mike Pence has been banished to Trump by Trump to Greenland. That he has been replaced. Wait for this. Barack Hussein Obama is vice president. Yeah, Barack Hussein Obama. They believe he's vice president. Yes, they believe that Gay Kenyon is part of the Trump 4D chess plot to save the world from the deep state. The Q follower then told me that Obama is the illegitimate son of JFK and the Princess of Thailand. And yes, they believe this. So being a governor, this guy, Brad's a government professor. He said, I poked the constitutional holes in these theories. He goes, a former president cannot serve as VP because of the 22nd Amendment limiting a president from not serving more than two terms. Okay. Number two, a VP nominated by President Trump during a presidential term is subject to confirmation by a hearing of the Senate. There's a simple majority vote, but it must be achieved, and the hearing's not happened. Plus, the Republicans hold a 51-seat majority in the Senate. Why would they confirm the Gay Kenyon, not to mention that he and Trump are polar opposites? They also kept moving the timeline forward when discussing the hundreds of thousands, should be hundreds of millions of indictments now that are supposed to happen, and now they claim Trump will not use the Department of Justice, but he will use military tribunals exclusively. This is crazy. I mean, think about it for a second. So we're going to have the people that are members of the deep state tried by military tribunal with firing squads, with not having a jury of their peers. And the Q people are okay with this. They believe that the Gay Kenyon is basically from John F. Kennedy. You know, and the problem, Austin, is this. These Q people are so brainwashed. And again, it's like this, remember I read you that thing in Exodus today about killing the sorcerers and the witches. Now, I'm not telling you guys to go kill sorcerers and witches. We're under the New Testament. We're under grace. We can't go out and kill people, all right? But what I'm telling you is this, is that this is sorcery. This is the veil that's been placed around the hearts and the minds of the unbeliever and Christ. In fact, a lot of Christians, you know, by the God of this age. It talks about this in the Word. And we have to understand what's happening here. Their hearts and minds have been taken over. If they really believe that Gay Kenyon is vice president now, I mean, what the heck, and that we're all going to be basically subjected to military tribunals? They don't even know the Constitution. The problem is everything that Q does is cryptic. It's like a fortune teller. They give you cryptic things like, oh, you're going to meet somebody within a few days and they're going to tell you the story of your life and that you're going to find true love. And you go, oh my gosh, that's wonderful. Like, okay. Well, then a few days later, you meet somebody, you think they're your love, and they may tell you something, and they may be trying to steal money from you, and you don't know who they are because you've been set up by this fortune teller to think this person is real. You may believe what they say. The problem is, this is what fortune tellers do. And then they get people addicted. There was a lady, Madame Christine, and she was out of a little bitty trailer in Lakeland, you know, 50 years ago. And she was a fortune teller. She was a gypsy. And my mom used to call her Sigoina, which is the German term for gypsy. My mom used to hate it every time we have to drive by this lady's trailer. Well, then this lady builds this huge home. This huge home. Builds this huge home right on the highway. Well, the lady ends up dying. Okay? And then they can't get rid of the house. And all of a sudden, the house burns to the ground. It's gone. And you're like, what the heck? You know, there is no telling the plethora of demons and evil spirits that were in that place. They may have tried to rent it. I'm not sure. I'm speculating here. They may have tried to do who knows what with it. Suddenly it burns down to the ground. Oh, wow. How weird is that? Guys, I told you the story once before. I lived in a haunted house one time. Oh, that would be – no, it's not fun. It's not okay. It's not cool. I won't even see scary movies after that. And I have that's been 25 years ago. I don't go see stuff like that. I want that stuff in my head because I know it's real. So, guys, some weird stuff out there. So just pay attention to what the Word of God says. Stay with Scripture. If the person that you're listening to, if you can't relate it back to Scripture, what they're saying, and they're getting too far out, pull the plug on it. Just turn the video off, turn the tape off, turn the YouTube off. Don't allow them to put seeds of doubt into your mind. Don't allow that. There's no reason to do that. Stay with what you're capable of transitioning to a Christian lens. If it gets too far out, just say, click delete. Don't get involved in it. Don't allow them to confuse you. Don't make them think that Barack Obama's the vice president and basically the son of JFK. Don't believe that stuff, guys. It's just nonsense. But yet, Pi have taken heat. Austin has taken heat. And we have gotten the letters about Q because we've gone against him so since the beginning. guys, it's a psychop. It's a bot. It's basically something that could confuse the Patriots and to take them out of the game. That's all it is. What do you think, Austin? What do you think about Barack Obama being the son of JFK?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me anymore. I've heard some pretty crazy stuff, the whole thing surrounding Q. And I mean, and that's what I've told you guys before. You know, is there a possibility that at the very beginning there was somebody possibly in the deep state that may have been leaking information out or trying to work on something? Very well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe, though. But one thing we do know is that it started to get so weird and so cryptic and so strange and all this weird, weird, weird stuff. And what I saw happening is I took a step back from it and started really, A, questioning a lot of the stuff that was being talked about and said or how it was interpreted with this guy. Because remember, a lot of stuff with Q wasn't the fact that he said specific things like, this is going to happen right here on this day with this person. It was that he did cryptic stuff, just like Dad said, that was very vague. And so it was interpreted in, well, this is what's going to happen, and this is why it happened now. And he'd say something cryptic and be like, well, that was what I meant on the time by 1823 and all this. It's weird stuff. Anyways, you guys already know that. But the thing that bothered me the most, and this is what bothered me the most, was once the people that started being so wrapped up in Q stopped calling out anything Trump did, stopped requesting real constitutional laws to be followed, stopped for basically requiring that Trump follow what he said he was going to do and keep his word, they basically started compromising and saying, oh, well, you know, the ATF, they only banned Bumpfire stocks and made him a felony because that was Trump's way of giving in to him so they didn't take our AR-15s. Really? If that's the concept you're going to go off of to keep a constitutional republic, you don't even need to be in this country. That's like saying, well, we gave them all of our magazines and ammunition so we could keep our rifles, you know, so we really won on that one. We really got them, didn't we? And you go, no, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would you possibly do that? This is what we've seen with them, and so many people got way too complacent, way too comfortable, way too easy because they were waiting to have Trump ride in on the white horse and save everybody in one fell swoop because Q said so. Guys, don't fall for that. Once you start seeing stuff being done that's not constitutional, it doesn't matter who's doing it. You gotta call them out for what it is. Also, too, one last story in other news to let you guys know, this is already started. Amazon has now started to roll out their biometric hand scanners for their sale purchases. They will be rolling them out first in Whole Foods in the next coming months, hopefully to have them fully implemented by next year. They've started on the Amazon New York office working on the employees for the biometric technology as guinea pigs to see how it works. The high-tech sensors are different from a fingerprint scanner, and they do not require you to physically touch it. Instead, there's a computer vision and depth geometry to process and identify the shape and size of each hand they scan before charging the credit card on file. The system code name is Orville and will allow customers with Amazon Prime accounts to scan their hand in the store that links back to their credit card. They said it's accurate within 1/10,000 of 1%, and so they're saying that they will have this rolled out in Whole Foods for people that want to use it. You basically put your hand in, it scans your palm, it charges your account immediately, and you walk right out of the store. This is getting everybody conditioned for what we exactly know and refer to as the mark of the beast, scanning your hand to purchase, buy, or sell anything. That is the next step that they're going to start rolling out, and Amazon is now going to be basically the first company in the United States to have this implemented nationwide in their stores at Whole Foods. And it's ironic they pick Whole Foods, because I've told you guys, Whole Foods is already compromised before Amazon bought them. Once Amazon bought them, they've been completely compromised now. And so a lot of people that eat healthy still go to Whole Foods. A lot of people, some people that are awake, go to Whole Foods. And so they're using this model now to acclimate these individuals to be comfortable for their quick, fast, secure purchasing with their hand scan. So just something to update you guys on there. We'll have to watch this and see how it unfolds over the next few months, Dan.
You know, Austin, like I've told you guys so many times, if you're bored right now, Well, if you're bored right now, you're probably not listening to the Ted and Austin Brower Show. I'm sorry, guys. Just turn it into the Austin and Ted Reality Hour. But I mean, it's something that, you know, we're just real. We're just father and son duo here. This real. I mean, that's what we are. I mean, we're not trying to pretend like we're something we're not. We're certainly not trying to paint some halo over our head. But it's just the whole thing has gotten nuts. You know, right now, you know, one of the experts about AIs and entities said that when we bring these AIs and we start summoning these entities and we start bringing these demons, is what they are, into existence, they will have indifference to humans as we have towards ants. You know, this is an these are basically Elon Musk concerns and what they're doing. They don't give a care about us, and that's not the word this guy said, but it's what it said. AI expert Jordy Rose said that tech developers are summoning entities into existence, which will have the same indifference to humans as we have towards ants. He says, they're not going to be like us. They're going to be aliens. They're going to be way smarter than every single person in this room, he says, in ways that we can't even comprehend, said Rose. Guys, you start bringing these interdimensional entities into existence and bringing them into other people and allowing them to possess people, hence perhaps all of these millions of autistic children now, we're basically it's going to be a mess. He went on to say, these things that we're summoning into the world right now are more Lovecraftian, the great old ones. They're entities that are not necessarily going to be aligned with what we want. Rose said this massive transformation was happening in the background while people were distracted, bickering about politics. Guys, he's right. You don't want to be possessed by anything. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Guys, this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it. Hope you've enjoyed the show today. I really like teaching you guys scriptures. You guys are awesome. I love you, and I appreciate you, and I thank you for your support, both spiritually and financially through Health Masters. You guys are absolutely wonderful. Austin, close it up, and I'll do the write-up.
Yes, guys. Thank you again for all the support. And be sure, as I told you guys earlier, if you wanted to get that magnesium brain food on sale right now, it's on sale for 15% off. I'll leave it up probably the rest of the day as product of the week, and then we'll roll over into the new one. So, again, thank you for the support. Stay spread. Basically, stay prepared. Stay ready. Always, 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 always have situational awareness of what's going on right now, especially as weird as stuff is getting. You guys have a safe, blessed, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.